GG's, you big ol' loser!
GG's.
How does it feel?
Unfortunately familiar.
Are you devastated?
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
I'd say I'm surprised by the results, but you know, I'm not.
Neither are the odds makers, for what that's worth.
You know, favorite or not, this feels incredible.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm not gonna lie, beating you feels just a little bit better.
You know, kind of a compliment. I'll take it.
Hey, real talk? Do you think I have enough to go all the way?
Well, it's never easy, but yeah, man. I really do think you are that good.
Really? Hey, hold on. Why are you being nice to me? You've been a dick for like a decade now.
Well, you finally stood up for yourself. And you're better prepared for the next round because of it.
So what, all these years you were trying to help me?
Well, no. No, you just never forced me to respect you.
Well, let this be a lesson for you then.
A lesson in what?
Be nice to people, man.
Dude, it's you and the Leafs. Are you asking me to be nicer to the Leafs?
Well, no, obviously not, because they deserve it. Oh, I get it now.
Low quality fans of a high quality Bruins team, that it's not a dub. And that is this season right there, kaput. It's over. The live stream was great. We had a lot of fun. Like, comment, subscribe, nailed it. Check out the Discord. Check out the high quality inspectors. Everything donated during the playoffs, continuing through the playoffs, will be donated to charity. And we will continue to have more content through the playoffs, primarily live streams. So we're going to do more of that stuff. I'm just getting that out of the way early. This is, as usual, end of the season. This is not a game breakdown. It truly isn't. It's a moratorium on the season. There's a few things to talk about. I'm going to ramble. This is going to be nonsense. That's where we're at, right? This is the time of year. The tradition is the game ends. I go take a shot with my wife. Not high-quality fiance, high-quality wife. It sounds selfish to say this right now, but I want to say this because for some reason I think I should. I've had an incredible year. I got married, obviously, to the love of my life, who's incredible. The Bruins, I expected to be bleh, and they were anything but. They were interesting. They gave me things to talk about, things to be interested in, reason to watch the game, right? I think they had a good season based on the roster that I looked at. I have concerns. I have complaints. I'm angry. I'm sad. I have the emotions that mirror yours. I'm not going to act like the current tone of my voice is a great personification of how I actually feel. I'm fairly frustrated in a lot of everyone, other than Pastrnak and Swayman. Because Pastrnak and Swayman showed up for this series, I think. And yes, I was vocal about, especially in games 3 and 4, how you need more from your top guys. Not Swayman so much, but your offensive guys. Like, Geeky let us down in the playoffs. That's not like a courageous take, but he did. And it's always hard because the end of the season comes and I talk about these players and I talk about what they did or didn't do, and people get very upset, especially if I pick on their favorite player, but there has to be a level of reality where Geeky, how about this? If you asked Geeky, or Hampus, or McAvoy, if you asked Zadorov, if you asked Minton, who's my favorite Bruin, like, if you're going to talk about who I enjoy, like, who I'm most excited about to watch, it's Fraser Minton. And part of that is, like, I'm hoping he turns into what I want him to turn into and all that kind of stuff. But if you were to ask him, if you were asked to ask Kastelic, sorry, a couple of shots, we're still... if you were to ask Zaka, if you were to ask... I'm not going to say Arvidsson because obviously he got hurt, which was a huge loss. If you were to ask virtually anyone in the lineup other than Swayman or Pastrnak, did you perform at the level that you needed to for this team to move to the next level? They would tell you no. Geeky would say he's disappointed in his play. He didn't do enough. hockey culture has this fun thing. It's one of the things that make it the greatest sport in the world. It is the... It is the... I can't think of the word because I'm not smart enough. Antithesis of the NBA. It's all about the team. It's always all about the team. You guys lost. What happened? Well, it starts with me. Every time, it starts with me. And yet, when we talk about these players, people are very quick to jump to defend them, which I think is good. The fans should defend them. There's a portion of the fan base that's going to do the work for us to crush them. I don't want to crush anyone. If you ask these guys where it starts, I am hoping and I'm very, very confident that the response is, it starts with me and I wasn't good enough. The fourth line had games where they were the best line. In fact, the fourth line is the only line that I would say was consistently effective. That's a losing team in the playoffs. And that's, like, look, that's where the Bruins are. They were a seventh seed. I think if you are talking about ripping apart the team right now, they were the seventh seed is a sobering comment. It reminds you that they were expected to lose this series. And boy, did they. Boy, did they. And unfortunately, they did find a way to lose in some games, which, and they got blown out in others. That tells me enough. I'm doing so much with my hands down here. I'm like, oh man, they're seeing me do all this wobbly stuff, but it's well hidden now that I realize by the camera. Unfortunately, there's so much reason to build frustration, and there's so many different fingers to point. When you think about the fact that there's so many fingers to point, it's very easy to go, oh, that's right, seventh seed. When you realize that you're blaming the coach, several of the players, the GM, the president, and several more of the players, we weren't supposed to win the series. It doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. It doesn't mean it doesn't suck. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to have 100 Sabres fans in the comments making fun of us. Which is well within their right. They've waited 15 years to do this. Towards the end of the game. Also, there is one Sabres fan who jumped in early and talked a bunch of shit. And it got a little awkward, but like, hey, talk your shit, brother. I feel you. If you jump in at the end of the game to talk to your shit, you're a coward? What do you mean? You're going to wait till the end? That's how I feel about a lot of the social media stuff of where like, I'm going to wait until the result happens and then I'm going to jump all on you. I'm like, well, you weren't that confident to start, I guess. No, this was an expected result for the Bruins, but that doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. The thing that bothers me the most, and I'm curious, God, am I curious about the end of season platform that Sweeney's going to have. If he says, we built this team the right way, we just need more oomph, I will be, I promise you, I will be on the fire Sweeney train. If Neely says it, I'll be on the fire Neely train. What I want to talk about, because I don't want to harp on the players too much, because we didn't have enough to beat the Buffalo Sabres. We didn't. And if you watch this whole series, you would know that like the Sabres were the better team. And I'm actually really pumped for Sabres fans. This is my bleeding heart side, right? It's been 15 years, 14 years of nonsense, and then finally back the 15th year. But how can you not be a little happy for them? This was a clean series as far as playoff series goes, right? I'm not sitting here being like, well, Benson, Krebs, and Dahlin were dirty motherfuckers. Sure, they were dirtbags. But in a playoff sense, like, that's hockey. They played the game the right way. I felt very confident that, look, the refereeing was suboptimal. They didn't cost us the series by any stretch of the imagination. Like, yes, not a single power play in the game six. Iffy, right? I don't agree. Not the end of the season for us. The end of the season was all on the Bruins. Do I want to get mad at Hampus for that last play? Because it certainly wasn't on Pasta. And it certainly wasn't on Swayman. The backbreaking play. I shouldn't say the last play, but Hampus no looking pass to Pasta through his legs with Doan all over him. Hampus has had a tough season. And we'll talk about that. We're going to do season grades for the players. We're going to have these conversations. But what I want to talk about is Sweeney went into the year and he said, in a nutshell, and I am absolutely paraphrasing and filling in with my own feelings, we are copying the Panthers. Piss and vinegar. We're going to be physical. In this series, not only were you not the most physical team, but the refs neutered you. And when they neutered you, you couldn't do anything about it. And let me be clear, they didn't neuter you during play. They neutered you after the whistle, which means I'm not blaming the refs for this. You weren't allowed to get extra spicy after the play happened. I'm not going to get mad at the refs about that. I want the refs to dictate what happens during the play. So what? You couldn't hit a guy after the whistle blew? You couldn't cross-check him or hit him in the chest? And yes, absolutely were there some weak calls. Absolutely. Absolutely. But the Bruins' toughness was largely after the whistle in this series. Because the more physical team, and by physical I mean winning the board battles team, was the Sabres by a margin. And I understand that many of you, based on social media comments I've already seen on Twitter, feel that the refs were one-sided and that the Sabres could get away with things that the Bruins couldn't. Personally, I don't really agree. I feel like the refs were bad because they overcalled the series in moments. And yes, they overcalled things after the whistle, which is where the neutering comes in, is what I'm talking about. They didn't affect the play. They had a couple bad calls. Absolutely. That's going to happen in every series. I'm not going to sit here and blame the refs for the loss of this series. It's not even close. The Sabres were the better team during this. Truly. Truly. So Sweeney builds his team out of piss and vinegar. Dom Lucision does a great job of this. He's a reporter for The Athletic. I got a lot of respect for the guy. He talks about how many teams have tried to copy the Panthers. But for some reason, every team misses the big thing, which is, were the Panthers dirtbags? And do the Panthers and get way better side of refereeing? It certainly seems so. It's certainly every single series, the other team is sitting there going, what is happening? Like, I get that. But the Panthers are not only physical. Obviously, this year aside. Speed and skill. They have it. They had found a perfect marriage between speed, skill, physicality, and clutch play. But they had speed and skill. And for some reason, us, along with a few other teams, but I would say particularly us, decided we were going to copy them by being physical. When you're not fast, I had basically four notes written down here. One of them was speed, speed, speed. I want this series to resonate with Sweeney so very deeply. You talked all year about piss and vinegar. We, as a collection of people who talk about the Bruins online, right? I am one of many. And many of us, a large percentage, talked ourselves into, is this a wild card team at best? Probably, but if they make the playoffs, the battle of attrition probably goes our way. And there's something we distinctly missed. Although it was mentioned out of my mouth multiple times, this is me covering my ass, I get it. But the lack of speed will kill you. What I didn't recognize is a lot of the physicality wasn't on the boards for winning board battles. It was simply after the whistle. It was performative. It was for show. And there was no deterrent for the Sabres in this series. And I understand where you could get angry at the referees for this, because you feel that, well, the Bruins weren't allowed to defend their goaltender without taking a penalty. I thought they mostly were early in the series, but they kept taking it to another level. Right? It was always a cross check up high. There weren't honestly that many calls that happened against the Bruins. Obviously, last game, the Kastelic roughing call early in the game that allowed the first goal was bizarre. That was just a complete weak call. But a lot of the calls after the whistle that happened, I watched Zadorov walk over and cross-check a guy through the shoulders. And you go, okay, that's a call. The Bruins built this piss-and-vinegar team that couldn't catch up to anyone. What would this team look like if, instead of focusing on defense at this point, right? Because, let's be honest, the Bruins defensively were one of the worst teams as far as like analytics go. One of the worst defensive teams in the league. Swayman put up the numbers he did behind one of statistically the worst defenses in the league. Is that the six guys on the back end? I would say, yeah. By about 40%, yes. The other 60% is the fact that the forwards cannot keep a play alive in the offensive zone at all. And until the last month and a half of the season, could not defend the neutral zone at all. Other teams spent the entirety of their games in our zone. And the Bruins, due to good goaltending and really good special teams to start the year, and then opportunistic scoring to end the year, were able to counter that. But if Sweeney comes out to have a press conference and does not say we need more speed up front, I am going to vomit. I cannot tell you how aggravated I became watching the Sabres win every puck, not due to physicality, which I thought they were a better physical team than we were during play, but not due to physicality, not due to structure, not due to game plan. They won every loose puck that they did because they were simply faster to the puck. The Sabres were able to put together so many offensive possessions that lasted 2, 3, 4 shots deep because they could retrieve pucks. The Bruins, one and done. That's what lost you the series. This is probably the first time in Sweeney's tenure where I can truly go, you are the reason that this team could not compete at the level they were at. I'm not saying he's without fault before that, but truly I sat here going, the game plan failed. It is not good enough. I fell for it. I was like, you know what? A battle of attrition. This team comes out on top. But between the whistles, there was no battle of attrition. The refs didn't neuter us between the whistles. The refs didn't prevent us from being physical and winning board battles. No, we simply didn't get to the puck soon enough. Our forecheck outside of one game was late. The majority of the game. Game 2 was the only game I truly complimented our forecheck, I think. It's the only one they created, and they pushed, and they had speed. This team needs speed. It is the way the league is moving. The Panthers truly did create this weird narrative of physicality when they also had speed and skill. And somehow, a few people really fell for it. You also have to have the skill and the speed. How many goals did we score over the last 4 games of this series? I mean, come on. You have to build more. Also to be expected. Again, there's a reason we're the 7th seed and they were the 2nd. So the first thing I would say is, could you imagine what this defense is? I think I have things I want to change. Joki Haru, Peak, Aspero. Peak should not be on the team. Joki Haru, I would like not to be on the team. Aspero, I'm not mad at Aspero. He got eaten alive in this series, though, and should not be a top-pairing guy. No one's arguing with me that Aspero should be a top-pairing defenseman. That's just where we needed him. And he did an admirable job. I'm not ragging on the guy. But watching him in this series, there's no way you walk away thinking he's a top-line guy. He's a top-pair guy. He's not. And that's okay. In my mind, he's still kind of a 7th D that's playing way above his station and did an admirable job. But he got a lot of praise this year because he's a 26-year-old rookie. Not because he actually is a top-pairing left-handed defenseman. He should be a third-pairing guy. He got eaten alive in this series. And also, it's his first NHL playoffs. Like, give the guy a break for sure, but the back end needs improvement. But how much better would they be if the offense could spend any time in the offensive zone? Any extended time? So that's my first complaint, is the way Sweeney tried to build the team, a way that we were very critical of early, we bought into when they started to push and create a narrative that they belonged there. And they did belong there. They earned their way to a playoff spot. But it fell out. The bottom fell out when they played a playoff team, a real playoff team. And I don't see a way where you can have this kind of team building goal and think that speed is a secondary asset. You have to have more speed. Truly, you have to have more speed. The physicality didn't exist between the whistles, not to a point that actually mattered. Did you see the Sabres shrinking away from anything there? And yeah, I think there are some injuries and things like that, but come on. 0-3 on home ice is pathetic, and the players own that. The players fully own that. 0-3 on home ice. It is also a knock on Sweeney because, and Sturm for that matter, you're supposed to have an advantage with second change on home ice, and you couldn't find one, which means the roster needs a lot of work, obviously. I want to have a little Hagans discussion. Multiple things are true in this. One, they signed him earlier than they should have. He wasn't lighting up Providence. He wasn't ready for the NHL games, truly ready. And taking him out of the lineup, although I don't know if it was the right decision, signing him in the first place was weird. Then you put him in the lineup, and in my head, you're like, all right, this is time to grow, man. You're gonna learn some lessons here. And then to take him out of the lineup. Hagans had one bad game. Actually bad game, which was game 4, where everyone had a bad game. And then game 5 happens, you take him out. And people kept trying to tell me that Asamoah and Steves were, like, good. And I was like, they're fine. They were fine. They were not good. They were fine. But whatever. Then game 6 comes around, and you still keep Hagans out. Did it lose us a series? Nah, I don't think so. But I also sat there and went, what did you see from Steves, who was a disaster in game 6? And Asamoah, who was a nothing burger in game 6? And Mitten, who had to work with these two guys and couldn't get anything going in game 5 or 6? What did you see that kept Hagans out of the lineup? Truly, how much better were they? Or was it simply that, well, we won game 5. So, you got it. And I got it. I went into this game being like, yeah, they won last game. They're going to keep the same lineups. I don't agree with it, but they're going to. Sturm's moments of picking and choosing and hard stance here and kind of fluttering around here. And Sturm has a lot to learn, right? And this is funny coming from a guy who couldn't teach him. But Sturm has left me with a lot of questions going into next season. Two things can be true. Did Sturm do a great job in the series? I don't think so. Does Sturm earn himself another year behind the bench? Absolutely he does. Two things can be true. Rookie NHL coach. We're going to see how it goes. I thought the Hagans decision was weird, and then it got weirder. And then it got weirder after that. I think the last 3 weeks highlighted a lot of the things that the fan base complains about with this front office and with the team itself. And you had 60,000 people who bought tickets to watch you play across 3 home games and you lost all 3 of them. Fuck you. Sorry, that's harsh, but unacceptable. Game 6 comes around, you don't start on time. Fuck you. It's unacceptable. Like, there are things that you are so very rightly angry about when you put it back into context of a rebuilding year, it gets a lot easier, right? A lot easier to temper the expectations and to calm the emotions about it. But playoff hockey is playoff hockey, and you're going to get frustrated when you watch your team do stuff like this. And watching, I mean, we're going to do the player grades, and that last back-breaking play of Hampus no-look pass into Pasta's skates while covered by Doan, and then Pasta and McAvoy miscommunicating, and Hampus never left the neutral zone. He drifted into the neutral zone as that fast break happened the other way. Didn't get on his horse or anything. And that was the backbreaker. Hampus should be stripped of the A next year. And yes, I understand, and I will defend Hampus, because I think that the injury he had is a 2-year injury and that he is going to be a better version of himself next year. But this is the fourth time, as far as memory goes, this season, where I sat there and went, why the hell are you wearing an A? If you're not giving the effort and you're not paying attention, then you should not be in any way close to a captaincy, even an alternate. Watching Pasta get blown up at the, this was 4 weeks ago, get blown up on the boards, and watching Husnadinov and Mitten fly in to fight for Pasta, who's 1v4 in the moment, and these two undersized guys jump in, and Hampus is just standing there watching. I will distinctly remember that for a long time. I got a lot of frustrations with Hampus, and I'm one of the more I'm one of the bigger defenders of Hampus, because I think the knee injury that he suffered was debilitating and is going to take a significant amount of time to come back from. But he shouldn't have an A on his chest. That's a hard take for me. 0-3 on home ice. Just unexcusable. Inexcusable. So there's certain brutalities to the way this all ended. But my hope is that the message that's being received here, you cannot build a team that's just physical. Because, playoffs or not, you don't just get to be physical and win a game. Your offense died the back half of the season and in the playoffs, truly. Geeky did nothing for you. Geeky was a complete failure in these playoffs, right? He had that 1 3-point game, which I'll give him, that backhanded goal from center ice. You need more from him if you are going to consider him a top-line scoring threat, right? Mittelstadt gave you nothing. Zacha gave you nothing. Elias Lindholm is a 3C at best, and fuck, he might be a 4C. The faceoffs were a problem, although I don't remember in this game. Oh, we had the better side of the faceoffs in this game. Great. But pivotal faceoffs were losses all around. Aspero struggled. McAvoy struggled. Joki Haru was bad. Peak was better than in the regular season, but still not great. Zadorov is clearly injured. And Hampus was bad. There's a lot to nitpick. And there's a lot of frustration. But the thing is, you go into next season, you have a little bit of cap space. I'm not expecting much from free agency. You have growth. Hagans, Minton, Husnadinov, you're all excited about. The Janot, Crowley, Kaslik. Crowley really started to hit a wall, so I don't know. But Janot and Kaslik as your starters for your fourth line. You should have a great fourth line next year. You truly should. They were really good. And Janot turned into a really stout defensive forward, penalty killing, everything. Good. You need help. You need a top left-handed defenseman. You do. We'll see how that gets solved. Hoping Hampus bounces back. McAvoy had a mostly great year despite getting smashed in the face 18 times. Peak will be gone. Brunet, I hope, is in the lineup. Zadorov will be healthy, who was impressive for large parts of the season. And Swayman rebounded in a huge way from a year last year that was fucking abysmal. There's a lot to like get excited about next year and get interested in for what might be. But the way this year ended, the only message that I want to truly get across, Sweeney, you had an idea of how to build a team. You're wrong. You need speed. You need skill. You cannot simply say, this guy's big and will beat the shit out of other players. Great. Will he put the puck in the net? Right? Will it matter at the end of the day? Right? So, obviously I was expecting a loss in this series. I did pick the Bruins in six, but why wouldn't I? I'm bummed. I am very proud of this team. I think they overachieved in a big way. I think the offseason is going to get a lot of you guys frustrated at me because I have a lot of questions about this roster, and I have a lot of concerns about how many people had a career year this year, how many things went right for the Bruins this year, and what next year will actually look like. So we'll get there when we get there. But the Bruins did truly, based on, excuse me, my comments in September, they did give me exactly what I asked for. I asked for an interesting team, one that was competitive in a sense, whether that be we're a bad team, but we're showing signs of growth, or we're a good team, which you made the playoffs, you're good enough, and we still have something to look forward to there. And I think that's what they gave us. They were a decent to good team with something to look forward to. I don't put any of the blame on this game on Pastor or Swayman. I want to make that very clear, but tough. I'm going to go eat some pasta. I'm going to go chill a little bit. I guess I got to think of a skit for this first, but then we'll get there. But thank you, everyone, for hanging out. Thank you, everyone, for joining the live streams. We've raised well over $1,000 so far for charity, and we'll continue to do so through the playoffs. But thank you, truly. This channel doesn't exist without you, and I really appreciate you. And as always, go Bees. Go Bees! Hey guys, thank you so much for watching this video and joining me as we experience this crazy Bruins season together. The names popping up on your screen now are from the top line tier and the all-star tier of the YouTube membership program for this YouTube channel. I greatly appreciate each and every one of you who helps support the channel so that we can do more fun things. And I am always open to more ideas of how I can help give back to those who support the channel. At the end of the day, this channel is always going to be about the community, and I want to continue to grow that way. So please always feel free to reach out with new ideas and fun ways we can expand on this. Or if you just need someone to talk to, I'm always here for you guys. Thank you all for your support. And as always, go Bees!